yesterday. Republican U.S. Senator of Wyoming John Barrasso says he made the right call.
He showed a lot of backbone. He has the right instincts and the right judgment on this, on canceling the talks with the Taliban. They practice terror while they claim to be negotiating.
Still, President Trump is also getting a lot of criticism from lawmakers, including many Republicans, about having planned to hold the talks at Camp David. Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming tweeting that Camp David is where American leaders gathered to plan the response to al-Qaeda, which was supported by the Taliban after 9/11, and no Taliban leader should ever be allowed there. This is USA Radio News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor, and in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're MediShare members, and Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs, and that's how so many MediShare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in, and like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join MediShare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people, and if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different, and as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
A Pennsylvania couple is facing charges for allegedly going on a spending spree after a bank mistake left six figures in their account. A teller at BB&T accidentally put $120,000 in Robert and Tiffany Williams' bank account back in May. Rather than notify the bank about the mistake, police say the couple spent most of the money in just a matter of weeks. A key Republican U.S. senator wants President Trump to show his cards when it comes to what he'd approve when it comes to gun reform. Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri saying,
"We're not going to vote on bills on the Senate floor that the president's not willing to sign. The president needs to step up here and set some guidelines for what he would do."
Blunt was speaking on NBC's Meet the Press. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he will only call bills to the floor for a vote that he knows the president will sign. Remember to find us online anytime. We're at usaradio.com.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
Here's the top movies at the box office over the weekend. Coming in at number one, It, Chapter 2, at $91 million. Angel Has Fallen drops down to number two with $6 million. The Good Boys is at number three with $5.4 million. Disney's remake of The Lion King is at number four with $4 million. Number five, The Overcomer at $3.8 million. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw at number 6 with $3.7 million. The Peanut Butter Falcon is at number 7 with $2.3 million. Tying it, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, coming in at number 8, $2.3 million. At number 9, Ready or Not, bringing in $2.2 million. And Dora and the Lost City of Gold at number 10 with $2.1 million. A former Republican governor of South Carolina is entering the race for the White House. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
Mark Sanford making his announcement on Fox News Sunday, saying he will challenge President Trump for the Republican nomination. He's the third Republican to throw his hat in the ring, joining former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld and former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh. Sanford says he decided to run because, quote, "we need to have a conversation on what it means to be Republican," saying, "as a Republican Party, we have lost our way." For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After a suicide attack last week that killed an American soldier in Afghanistan, for which Taliban leaders claimed responsibility, the president cancels what were to be secret talks with Taliban leaders at Camp David yesterday. Republican U.S. Senator of Wyoming John Barrasso says he made the right call.
He showed a lot of backbone. He has the right instincts and the right judgment on this, on canceling the talks with the Taliban. They practice terror while they claim to be negotiating.
Still, President Trump is also getting a lot of criticism from lawmakers, including many Republicans, about having planned to hold the talks at Camp David. Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming tweeting that Camp David is where American leaders gathered to plan the response to Al-Qaeda, which was supported by the Taliban after 9/11, and no Taliban leaders should ever be allowed there. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world run a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for gold prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 per ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to capitalize and profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN. Or 800-289-2646. Or visit online at SwissAmerica.com.
Okay. All right. Here we are. We're a little bit late getting started. Some technical difficulties with the computers. It's Monday morning, so I guess what do you expect, right? Welcome to Your Seat at the Table. I'm Janice Kovach. I'm here with Riley Karsh, my co-host. And we're here to talk about local government, county government, state government, everything that impacts and how it impacts the residents of our communities. So, welcome. We missed last week because it was a holiday week. Hope everyone had an awesome holiday weekend and enjoyed the weather and the weather we just had. And now it's time to get back into the real world and into the swing of things. And, you know, as I was out this past weekend talking to residents, and it was interesting, and we had some conversations around who's responsible for traffic lights, who's responsible for trimming brush so that blind spots are...
Like shrubbery. And
shrubbery, yes. So, you know, I think that'd be an interesting conversation to have today.
Yep.
So we can talk a little bit about... Again, you know, a lot of what we talk about is focused on our community because that's what we know. But this is information you can then take and use it within your own community. If you've got some issues, we're going to give you some insight and some tools and some people to reach out to. So, and of course, we have to go right into a commercial break. So stay tuned and we will be back shortly.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, here we are. We are back to have the conversation. So let's talk a little bit about the roads that we live on, you know, who's responsible for the maintenance and whether or not even some towns don't have necessarily a DPW and rely on either other communities
right.
or the state or county to help them. Or homeowners. Oh, yes, homeowners associations as well, because we have them throw that into the mix.
Yes. So it's super complicated. It seems like it should be a really easy, basic thing, because, you know, it's about visibility and safety and those kinds of things.
Right.
It would seem like, oh, yeah, everybody just clear up your
Everyone sidewalks. Gets it, but no, not really.
But it's actually surprisingly complex
yes.
when you get into it.
So what's interesting, and I don't know if I even shared this with you, but the townhouse development in Clinton, Alton Place, mm-hmm. has that main road that runs through. It's Mountain View Road.
Right.
About a year and a half ago, and it's a borderline road with Clinton Township, because it's right on Country Club Drive. So a year and a half ago or so, someone had an accident, knocked the sign down. Well, for a year and a half, the residents of Alton Place had been trying to get the road sign replaced. So technically, it is a Clinton Township road. So, you know, the residents went to Clinton Township. They said, no, it's not ours. It's the town. And the town's like, no, it's really not ours. Maybe it's the association. So round and round and round, resident finally reached out and said, can you help? Because, you know, sure. we just need a road sign so right. people know where to turn.
Right.
So we talked about it. And I'm like, just order the road sign and we'll put it up. It for the minimal amount of cost, if right. it makes it easier for our residents, and it's a safety issue
as
well.
It's a safety issue. That's, at the end of the day, it's all about keeping people safe,
yes.
keeping kids safe, keeping communities organized and structured so that people know where they need to go and what they need to do.
Exactly.
You know, that's our job. So,
but the funny thing is the resident contacted me over the summer, I guess it was probably like late July, early August, and said, the sign is up, but it says Mountain View Court, not Mountain View Road.
Oh, no.
So I call our business administrator, and I'm like, I said, we put up the wrong sign. He's like, we didn't put up the sign yet. We just got it today.
Right.
So someone put up a sign, but someone put up the wrong sign. So we sent our guys out to put – and I have a picture. One end of the road is Mountain View Road. One end of the road was Mountain View Court.
Sure.
And again, it goes to, you know, we need our elected officials, our associations, everyone to really pay close attention, because that's significant. You don't
yeah.
think it's an issue, but if you're changing the name of a road from one side to the other,
yeah.
what does that do? So now I have Mountain View Court sitting in my office.
Well, and people think it's, you know, it is funny, it's comical, but then when you're dealing with emergency services, for
exactly.
instance, and they're trying to find a home to get to, you know, help someone,
right.
and they, you know, obviously we have GPS now, which helps and resolves a lot of those issues, but if they're relying on street signs for whatever reason, you know, you need them to be accurate, so
right.
that sort of thing can become dangerous, and so... you know, like you said, we have to be aware and careful about that.
It's important. It is, you know, and I didn't, you know, I don't live in that development, so I don't necessarily notice it. I know the roads. I
sure.
know where I need to turn if I'm going to see someone. So I wouldn't necessarily see that there was a difference in the sign. But it had an impact to the residents. And you're right. I mean, we can laugh about it now and the fact that I have a street sign in my office. But the point is we really need to make sure that we're paying attention and we're
yeah.
working to ensure, you know, the best for all of our residents,
yeah, absolutely.
Wherever they may be. So I did share that with the mayor of Clinton Township, and he got a little chuckle out of it, since we still don't know who put up the wrong sign.
Right.
We're still trying to figure that one out. That's still the mystery.
Oh, interesting. I wonder, maybe a resident just got sick of waiting.
Either that or the association may have done it.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting to find out who's going to take ownership of it, and I will personally deliver the incorrect sign. Until then, it's going to sit in the office, and
That's
we'll pull
fair.
It out.
Right.
Same thing with potholes. So, you know, we recently had four roads repaved in the town of Clinton.
Right.
And again, in conversations, someone asked, you know, how do you determine what roads get paved or whose road gets paved? And the four that were done were in desperate need of repair.
Right.
They were in horrible shape. And a lot of it comes down to, because there's a cost involved, you know, hoping to get some grant monies to assist us in it. And you do it in a larger scale, and obviously you get more roads done. It becomes a cheaper project overall. And you keep your fingers crossed that once you mill it, that you find that there's not structural damage underneath that requires work.
Well, also, just, you know, for people who maybe don't know how paving works, because, you know, it's not obvious to, right, to everyone who isn't involved in this process, you don't just pave over the top of what's already there.
Right.
You have to pull up the road that exists and see what's underneath, because there's layers that fund to keep a road stable.
Right.
So it's not as simple as just putting pavement on top of pavement on top of pavement.
Right.
So I think part of the issue of infrastructure in general is that it's far more complicated than most people realize. And that's just a function of why would you know those things,
right,
unless you're involved in them all the time
on a regular basis.
It's just not a part of the daily the day-to-day part of people's lives. You don't, you know, walk around in a sewer. You don't, you know, crawl through water drains. You're,
right,
not, those aren't, unless that's your job or you're one of us sitting at a table talking about it, you know, you don't necessarily know these things. And so it's part of what we want to do with this show is help educate people and help people understand, you,
yes,
know, listen, when you rip up a road or when you pave a road, you rip it up and you have to take the tops off and see what's going on underneath. And sometimes there's a surprise. It's just like when you're doing work in your house and, you know, if you're like me and you have a house that was built in 1923, you're terrified because you take the ceiling down and you're like, oh,
what am I going
to
find?
Look, I have to replace my structural beam or whatever it is.
Right.
You know,
yeah, well,
or you're excited like we were,
yes,
with our last project because, you know, there wasn't as much damage as we thought there would be. And,
right,
so there were, you know, there was cost savings involved. So you never know what you're going to find.
Right.
But it's, you know, part of our goal here is to help people understand that process and what that looks like and what we're doing behind the scenes, because not a lot of that gets talked about at public council meetings because we'd be there for
you know,
8 hours and nobody wants to, yeah, sit through that. So we do a lot of this work. I happen to be on the roads committee, so we do a lot of this work in committees talking about, you know, what's the plan, how are we going to deal with this if, you know, if we pull up the top layer and you know, we see all the curbs actually do need to be replaced,
right,
you know, which is extraordinarily expensive. You know, what's the plan? How are we managing that?
Right.
So just something to be aware of, that that's the process behind the scenes of what we're doing.
Right. And it's all, you know, you're right. When you rip something up, it's like, oh, what are we going to see? And we did luck out. I mean, the fact that we were able to get the project done literally in a week.
Yeah.
Was, and of course it was the week school started.
It always is.
which, you know, you add that to the project over by the Clinton House, which, you know, and that was part DOT project because,
yep,
in front of the Clinton House is a state highway, you know, that, and that's where we have to differentiate what our responsibilities are versus what the state's responsibilities are, what they're willing to allow.
Mm-hmm.
So in that particular project, you had a lot of entities that had a say.
Yeah.
Including the State Office of Historic Preservation,
right,
SHPO, because of the fact that it is in a historic district in front of a historic building.
Exactly.
So everyone signed off. I mean, that project has been... Ooh.
That's been on the books for years.
Yes.
And it's it was spearheaded from before I was on council,
yes,
I believe. So
it's been talked about for a long time.
Right.
I think it's probably been 4 years that it's been a project in the works.
Right. I don't know if we need to go to commercial yet.
In a minute.
But, you know, I do want to talk about that project because I think there's been some confusion about the purpose,
yes,
behind it. And we just had our roads committee meeting and we're going to put something out to help people, kind of walk people through the background of why that project was done and what the goal is with it and why we think it is an improvement to the community and why it's helpful for not just, you know, not just kids going to school, but for all people in the community and people driving through the community. So, but I can talk a little bit about,
yes,
that.
So we'll do our commercial break real quick and then we will be back.
Well, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care. At a moment's notice, Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, and we are back. So, let's talk about the front of the Clinton House. And since that is your committee, Riley, I'm going to turn that one over to you.
Well, thanks. So, you know, as I said, that project started before I was on council. So, I can't speak to the conversations that initiated the project per se, but I will say that since I've been on the roads committee, the discussion has been largely about pedestrian safety and about, you know, from the economic development standpoint, which is, as everyone who knows me, my main focus and why I ran for council in the first place, it has been about making that sort of the gateway to downtown, because a lot of people coming into the town of Clinton go from that direction, from the exit 15 area right. of 78, will drive across the bridge, of course, and go into downtown Clinton. And so that particular intersection was a bit of a no man's land, so mm-hmm. to speak. And two issues were big red flags to me. One is it was unsafe for pedestrians crossing the street, so crossing over Old 22, that the location of the crosswalk was not ideal. There was no lighting there, and the sight lines were not great coming over the main bridge on Old 22. And just the location itself from the traffic studies we had
right.
done, it was indicated to us by professionals that was not the ideal location for the crosswalk. And because we are a walking district for our kids, they will take that crosswalk. That's not, we don't want them in an unsafe location.
Right.
So part of the goal was to move the crosswalk, which we've done. In order to move the crosswalk, we needed to go somewhere. And so if we had moved the crosswalk into the middle of no man's land,
right.
then we would have created even more unsafe scenario. So obviously something needed to be done there.
Right.
Now, the other issue is in that particular location, you had cars turning, you know, doing U-turns without kind of any sort of sense of paying attention to which way they were going. You had cars backing in and out without really any directional indication of where they needed to be going. And now you have a engineered direction, so they have to go in certain ways, and it slows the traffic down. And maybe that's part of the complaint that people have, is that it slows the traffic down.
Right.
But that's the goal. We want the traffic to slow down in that intersection because that makes it safer.
Right.
And so while I realize that may add 30 seconds to 5 minutes to somebody's driving life, that may also keep somebody from having an accident. And so my preference personally is that somebody is inconvenienced by 30 seconds to
right.
versus somebody getting in an accident or somebody getting hit crossing the street or stepping off the sidewalk. And then the secondary goal, of course, is to make it look nicer. And so we can all, you know, argue the point of whether it looks nicer or not. I personally, and most people that I've spoken to, believe that it looks cleaner, it looks safer, it looks more like a walkable community.
Mm-hmm.
And so now people can see where it is that they are supposed to walk, how they are supposed to get from point A to point B. So whether they're crossing, you know, into town or out of town, they
right.
know which way they're supposed to go. And then once we determine sort of what the reality of that area is,
mm-hmm.
whether, you know, how cars are going to actually navigate the location, we will look to the Conservancy and other groups in town for advice and hopefully assistance in planting the area so that it won't just be dirt or just grass. It will
right.
be beautified in that way. And I think that will also help take away some of that. Some people have mentioned it looks a little industrial, and so that will take away some of that industrial feeling.
Right.
Obviously, it wouldn't make sense to plant it now when it's the fall.
Right, and everything's going to die anyway.
And two, we want to be smart about it. We're not going to waste money. We want to see what happens with the intersection. Are
right.
trucks going to be unwise and try to turn in an area where they can't turn? And
right.
so are we going to start seeing, you know, tire marks going over certain corners? If we are, we're not going to plant right there because they're just going to continuously get run over.
Right.
So that's, you know, it's a little bit of a wait and see to determine what happens. But that is on the books to pay attention to and to work towards addressing, I assume, in the spring. It'll
right.
determine, will depend on kind of what the winter looks like.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's all weather dependent for planting.
Everything is weather dependent in New Jersey.
Of course. But also, just for anyone listening, no parking spaces were lost. We also made it ADA compliant.
Mm-hmm.
So now people with ADA situations can now actually access the sidewalks.
Right.
And that the ramps are now ADA compliant, whereas they were not before
right,
to current standards.
Right.
They were to, oh,
old,
they were grandfathered
standard.
In. So
exactly.
They were legal, but now they are to current standards. So people with wheelchairs or other ADA issues can now access the sidewalks. They can cross in the crosswalks to get into downtown. So all of the things that were done to make it easier for people to walk into town. So then the extra step is, everyone is upset about parking in town, so now this makes it easier for people who live in town to walk into town.
Right.
So that also should alleviate some of the parking concerns in the community.
I would hope so. And, you know, it's interesting. So I've driven it a few times just to kind of get a sense of what it is. And, yes, it forces people to slow down. And you're right. It's you definitely need to at that point because there's an – everything comes together there.
Right.
You've got a lot of stuff going on. You've got the gas station. You've got offices. You've got the Clinton House. You've got to get down to Main Street. And people are trying to get wherever they're trying to get to, along with people crossing on top of it. So it what I liked about it is the fact that it you have to really stop and think because you can't just, you know, those hatch marks that we used to have in the middle before.
Yeah. You could just go wherever you wanted.
No one paid attention to him. You know, and I will admit, I was probably one of the ones that at night, you know, coming through trying to, you know, which way am I going to turn?
Right.
Am I going to cut it just a little bit? Now I'm forced to really pay attention. And I think it's important for all of us to really pay attention. And I get it. The you know, traffic in town can be horrendous.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We had Thursday night where there was, you know, two accidents on 78, both one going eastbound, one going westbound, which completely stopped the town.
Right.
And that's something we have to, you know, we have to be cognizant of. Clinton will always be, Old 22, which is a state highway,
yep.
is an alternate route.
Right.
Halstead, part of Halstead Street is an alternate route. There are weight limits. What's not an alternate route is Center Street.
No, and I did have a long discussion with
yes.
the Roads Committee and the Chief of Police and about that particular right. issue. And so I'm hoping, you know, we can make some progress on
right.
that.
Well, and I think initially, and I will put this out there, I did say this to a resident who reached out to me. I said, until we can get the appropriate signage and done what we need to get done, the minute you see a tractor trailer coming down Center Street, call the non-emergency number.
Right.
The 735-8611. The police will come out and write a ticket. Once they write a ticket, the truckers will then notify everyone else on the
right.
road, don't come through town, cops are writing tickets.
Right.
And they'll do it, you know, they'll either stay on the highway or they'll do old 22.
Right.
They're not going to come down Center Street. I get it. It is truly, I saw the pictures, it is absolutely a safety issue.
Yeah.
When I drive down Center Street in my car, when I get down to the end, I always wonder, I'm like, oh, this is narrow
after
here. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. After New Street, from New Street to Halsted Street is very, very tight, just for cars
right.
in general.
So to see the trucks trying to go down, and I get it, they have a job to do, but we need to, again, our primary responsibility is to the residents of the town of Clinton.
Absolutely.
So if you do, so Clinton residents, if you're on Center Street or on any of the smaller roads and you're seeing tractor trailers coming through that are not moving someone in or out, you know, reach out to the non-emergency number and the police will go out there and write a ticket. You know, can't always put someone at the end because they may be dealing with the other fallout from an accident. So let's, you know, put out at least a temporary fix.
Right.
And then the goal is to work with DOT and Clinton Township, because I did drive down the road, and the weight limit sign is behind a speed limit sign.
Yeah.
Once you get on Center Street.
Well, the weight limit sign is too late. So
right. You can't turn around.
Once a large truck is on Center Street, they've gone too far.
Right.
There's nowhere for them to turn. There's no radius available unless they go on Georgia's Place and back out to 31.
Right.
And even then, that radius is tight for a semi.
Right.
So, you know, unless Clinton Township and DOT is willing to put some sort of signage on the overpass.
Right.
Indicating that there's no right turn onto Center Street for trucks, then.
That is the objective, is to get Clinton Township and DOT to work with us on that.
Right.
Because it really does, you know, make a difference if we can redirect the traffic to where it needs to be.
Right.
But understand, any community that is off a major highway is going to experience the same thing. I know Lebanon Borough, they have the same issues. When 78 gets backed up, 22 gets backed up, cars get off on their main street. And anything to avoid an accident
yeah.
or getting stuck in traffic any longer than you have to.
Right. Well, and they get rerouted by Waze or whatever.
Or Google GPS. Maps or any of the right. Absolutely. Well, and that's a big piece of it, right? We rely on our devices to kind of
sure.
help us get to where we need to go.
Yeah.
But at the same time, those devices aren't in tune with restrictions within a community.
Exactly.
So that's definitely something that we need to, you know, ensure that we're talking about. And again, to the residents that give the heads up, I mean, I know you live on Center Street, so you see it firsthand.
I mean, I don't always. So what I've said to the, you know, my neighbors certainly is everyone has my phone number. My
right.
phone number's all over the internet.
So's mine, yes.
So, you know, I'm always available. The mayor's always available. Everyone on council is always available.
Right.
All it takes is a phone call or a text message saying, hey, this is happening. Can you help?
Right. And we don't always, to your point, we don't always know.
Well, I'm not always home, right?
You're not always home, or if it's not impacting your community directly.
Well, right. Or if I'm upstairs with a screaming toddler. Or
yes.
if I'm out in my backyard instead of my front yard.
Right.
You know, you just, we're part of being in a community is having to rely on the community. And so,
yes.
You know, we say it all the time. We can't see everything. And to the extent that people are willing, we need the help of others to tell us that something is going on.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, we can't help. And that's the whole, you know, the whole reason I want to, you know, there's no glory in municipal government.
We pick up trash.
Right. Like, we're here to help and
right.
and to be helpers and to be people who are willing to listen and you know, try to help the community and help everyone have the best community possible.
Right.
And, you know, there's no, we're not getting any, you know, special magical thing out of it, other than, you know, we want a great community, we want to be helpers, and so we need other people to tell us what's going on so that we can help make those changes.
Like when the traffic light at exit 15 is out of sync.
Exactly. Like, I rarely go that way anymore. So if it goes out of sync, I'm probably not going to know about it. I go the other direction all the time for whatever reason.
Right.
And so, you know, if it goes out of sync, I may not notice. But if somebody texts us or
posts in Facebook and tags us,
then, you know, we're going to call DOT and say, get out here and fix it.
Right.
You know, those are the kinds of ways that we are looking to the community to work with us. And to broaden that, you know, if you are in another community, not in our community, you should be doing the same with your elected officials. They should be willing to do the same thing for you, whatever community you're in. And it doesn't matter if whatever party they represent, whatever party you're a member of, this is not about any of that.
This
is just about, if you're a resident and you have an elected official, that is their job, and it's your job as a community member to say, this is an issue for me, I need help.
Right. Hold us accountable for what needs to be done. I mean, we will do it. We just need to know what the issues are.
If we can. there's some things we can't do.
I don't know. Let's see. What haven't we dealt with the post office. We dealt with traffic lights.
That's true.
The bear.
Yeah.
Up in, you know, although, unfortunately, we can't trap the bear.
No.
So it is, you know, dealing with the calling the non-emergency number again. And our thankfully, our officers are trained. But to that point, it was a resident raising the issue, you know, what do we do? How do we do it?
Yeah.
And we have the contacts to know who to call.
Right.
And ask for, you know, what's the advice? How do we handle this?
Yeah.
And they respond, which is, you know, all we can ask for.
Right.
We may not necessarily like the response we get.
That's the truth.
And depending on the response, we may escalate it. But for the most part, you know, we really do try to work with all the departments, other communities. In fact, next week, Paul Muir, who's the mayor of Bethlehem Township, as well as the president of the Clinton Guild, is going to join us on the program so we can talk a little bit about how the communities, you know, how we work together.
Right.
Cross, you know, we may have a 1.3 square mile town, but we're boundless because we have a lot of people who consider Clinton their downtown.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do we work together to ensure that we're helping all of the residents, not just you know, our own residents.
Right. And how do we help people feel included? Because we love that other people, no, I shouldn't say other people, that people who do not necessarily reside within the boundaries of Clinton feel like Clinton is home.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's a wonderful thing that we're able to provide that for other communities that don't necessarily have a downtown.
Right. It is. We're the experience, you know, and New Jersey is always unique because you may say you live in Clinton, but you really don't live in Clinton. Just your mailing address is Clinton.
Exactly.
So, you know, as people come in from people who grew up in New Jersey kind of understand how all those boundary things work. But people who come from other states are like, huh?
Yeah.
I live in Clinton. I'm like, no, you actually live in Union Township. My mailing address says Clinton. I'm like, yeah, I know, but not the town. So it's always part of the fun. All right, we're going to do a quick commercial break and the news break, and then we'll be back for the last 10 minutes or so of the program.
USA Radio News.
It killed an American soldier in Afghanistan for which Taliban leaders claimed responsibility. The president cancels what were to be secret talks with Taliban leaders at Camp David yesterday. Republican U.S. Senator of Wyoming John Barrasso says he made the right call.
He showed a lot of backbone. He has the right instincts and the right judgment on this, on canceling the talks with the Taliban. They practice terror while they claim to be negotiating.
Still, President Trump is also getting a lot of criticism from lawmakers, including many Republicans, about having planned to hold the talks at Camp David. Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming tweeting that Camp David is where American leaders gathered to plan the response to al-Qaeda, which was supported by the Taliban after 9/11, and no Taliban leader should ever be allowed there. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world are on a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for gold prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 per ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to capitalize and profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN or 800-289-2646 or visit online at SwissAmerica.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, so welcome back. We have about 10 minutes. We're just going to kind of wrap up. And what we started the conversation is, you know, who's responsible for for taking care of the roads and, right. whatnot. And we kind of got a little distracted there in the side conversation. But so, you know, I'll use Lee Street and Old 22 as an example. And I'm sure many people have come down and if you're trying to make the left or even a right onto Old 22 from Lee Street, you're going north, it's you see that there's some brush, and it's sometimes difficult to see if there's cars coming, you know, during the day, especially at night, not so much because maybe you see some headlights coming. So we have a call in, multiple calls into DOT, because that is a DOT responsibility. And again, in conversations, people are like, you know, why does it take so long? Part of the problem is there are not a lot of resources allotted to doing maintenance on these roads. And the assumption is unless someone complains, you know, we'll put it to the end. This particular time, apparently the equipment is broken. It's been broken. So they're looking to borrow it. And I said, well, if either they borrow something or maybe I'll go out with the chainsaw one morning when it's dark and no one can see me. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to get myself in trouble that way. But, you know, it's not something because it's not our property. You know, it's not easy for the town to just go out and do the work.
Right.
We have to go through, you know, we have to follow the process. We have to follow the procedures, even when it's frustrating to us. And, you know, from that perspective, yes, the request has been made multiple times. In fact, I had a conversation this morning that said, let them know that if they don't come send someone out this week to do it, I will go to the commissioner's office. And I'm not trying not to do that. I don't want to play, well, I'm just going to call your boss. But at the same time, it's impacting our residents. Residents are recognizing that it's not safe for them to pull out. So,
and it's not safe, and it also looks bad.
It does.
Right? And, you know, I think we all work hard to keep the community nice and clean and well-kept. And, you know, when the state can't be bothered to do the same, it gets very frustrating.
Right.
And it gets, I think the point that you're trying to make is don't think we are not in the same position. We are all equally frustrated with that scenario. So,
and we're not ignoring it.
No, not at all.
That seems to be, you know, unless I feel like I have to talk about it all the time to remind people, yes, we're on it. But at the same time, if you see something, you know, I'll go back to the commercial, you see something, say something.
Right.
Because to your point before, we may not always see something.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, when you go past something frequently, you tend to not notice.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, because you just kind of have the blinders on, right?
Right.
And you're just going about your day, and maybe you don't notice it anymore. But, yeah, I think the other thing to bear in mind is it is a process. And so, you know, we don't own all the roads, and we don't own all the property, and we don't own private property. And so, you know, sometimes there's a turn off of a road, and it's hard to see, and it's frustrating, but it's a private property owner's issue. And so we can send out, you know, our
notifications, violations,
and ask people to clean up their property and trim their trees and do the things that they're supposed to do. But at the end of the day, it's private property. And so you can only go so far.
Right.
And we do all of those things, and we ask for all of those things to be done. And hope that people are able and willing
to
take care of them.
Right.
You know, it's a challenge. Everyone has a different thing going on in their lives. Everyone has different standards. So, you know, we do the best we can on this.
And we try to, listen, I think we always try to be cognizant of the fact that there are things that will pop up. You know, people are away, something happens. And it's not a matter of, you know, we're not coming in and, you know, creating chaos for people, but at the same time, we all have a responsibility as residents of a community. You know, you live in the middle of the woods with no one around you, maybe no one's really caring, but when you're right next door and, you know, you're cutting your lawn and your neighbor's regularly not cutting it, then it becomes a, you know, it's a sore spot for people. It's like, all right, I'm taking care of mine, why don't you? So, and we do. We send out reminders if it gets to a point where it's not being taken care of or abandoned properties. You know, when there are homes that have been left and the banks own them, you know, banks aren't paying attention to that, so we have to send the notifications.
Right.
Most of them are pretty good, and we'll send out someone to do the work. Other times, we have to actually send our guys out there to do that work.
Right.
Which makes it difficult as well.
Yeah. But, you know, to the earlier point of who's responsible for what, it is complicated. If you have questions, you should ask us.
Yes.
Or if you're not in our community and you have questions about your own community, you should ask your elected officials or your business administrators or whoever, your town clerks.
Right.
They should be able to tell you, you know, so-and-so is responsible for that piece of property, and these are the contacts you should be able to use in order to find more information about what's going on.
Right.
There's no reason that you can't ask questions. If you have them, you should be able to reach out to the people who are supposed to be representing you.
Right. And they may not be able to make the fix, but they will know who it is that they have to reach out to, or we have to reach out to.
Exactly.
That's the important thing, is to understand that aspect of it. And, you know, and again, if you have issues within your community and you're not able to get to your elected officials or to your clerk, you know, reach out to us. I've had no problem sharing information when I have it, or making a phone call on behalf of another resident.
Yeah.
You know, I understand frustration. And when you hit a point where it's like, I don't know where else to turn.
Right.
Just give me something. And, you know, if we can be that, you know, we'll do our best to be that for you.
Absolutely.
So with that, we are going to go to our final commercial, and then we will be going to news break and signing off, and we will see you next week. Hope you all have a great week.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Treasury chief discusses the administration's plans to privatize mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They were put under government control back during the financial crisis in 2008. Secretary of the Treasury Steve Mnuchin says today,
the first step is we are in the process of negotiating with the FHFA on our current lines, and we expect in the near term we'll have an agreement where we will allow both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to retain their earnings, which will be a significant increase in capital and a step in the right direction.
He was speaking on Fox Business Network. Congress going back to work today after a summer break. The Senate and House to finalize individual budget bills after reaching agreement on a broad two-year spending plan. In the House, Democrats are calling again for impeachment proceedings. This is USA Radio News.
Is it possible that an ancient mystery lies behind today's news? The events of the world, world leaders, even Donald Trump, and the events of your life. Could this mystery even reveal the future events that are yet to come? Jonathan Cahn, the New York Times bestselling author of The Harbinger, The Paradigm, and The Book of Mysteries, now brings The Oracle. Prepare to be blown away. The Oracle by Jonathan Cahn. Available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
She's dating U.S. Senator Cory Booker, who's running for the White House, but actress Rosario Dawson says that doesn't mean she's endorsing him. In fact, she's not endorsing any specific candidate. Speaking at the Toronto Film Festival last night, Dawson made it clear when it comes to politics, she's just backing the electorate. After 3 years of TV exile following his laughter at a joke President Trump made years ago about grabbing women, Billy Bush returns to TV as the new host of Extra tonight.
I think I picked up some missing elements in the last few years, like a deeper empathy, patience. I think people that I'm working with now would say, boy, he's good to work with.
Bush speaking there with Gail King on CBS This Morning. 2 days before the anniversary of the attacks, there's a U.S. Senate hearing today on the state of homeland security in America since the 9/11 attacks. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
New details released by officials in the death of a rising country star. USA Radio's Wendy King has more.
Investigators say country singer Kylie Rae Harris was responsible for the three-vehicle crash in northern New Mexico that left her and a 16-year-old girl dead. They say Harris was speeding when she clipped the back of another vehicle that sent her into oncoming traffic. She then crashed head-on into an SUV driven by Maria Elena Cruz. The first responders included the teen's father, Pedro Cruz, who was with the fire department. Authorities also say evidence at the crash scene indicated alcohol may have been involved. Harris had a prior DWI conviction in Collin County, Texas in 2017 and had been ordered to install an ignition interlock device on her vehicle. The community of San Cristobal was holding a fundraiser dinner for the Cruz family to help them pay for funeral costs.
And a Pennsylvania couple facing some serious charges now for going on a spending spree after a bank mistakenly deposited six figures in their account. A BB&T teller accidentally putting the $120,000 in Robert and Tiffany Williams' account back in May, and police say instead of notifying the bank about it, they went out and spent most of it in just a few weeks' time. Among their purchases, an SUV, a couple of ATVs, and a car trailer. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
All right, our local weather here at HunterdonChamberRadio.com for Flemington and the surrounding area. Slight chance of showers later on today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, low around 59 tonight. Sunny on Tuesday, high near 79. Partly cloudy, low around 62 in the overnight. Wednesday, partly sunny, high near 87, warming up again. And let's see, where are we? Thursday, chance of showers and thunderstorms. In the morning, clearing up during the night, but maybe some more some showers and thunderstorms Thursday night. Cloudy on Friday, high in the 70s. Chance of showers on the overnight, slight chance, and into Saturday and possibly Sunday. So warming up, and then maybe some more rain. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Here at the Chamber, working with the chef at Jake's restaurant in town here, been serving over 28 years cooking for our people. We get together on Mondays to live to talk about food events, beverages. Next week we'll have Janet Madalena from Madalena's Cheesecake. Been doing business with Janet the whole time we've been open at the restaurant. I even enjoyed their cheesecakes prior to that, so I knew they were good. And they still do a fair amount of catering, but they have a good store. I know Thanksgiving is their big thing. You can pick up the whole full-course turkey dinner all ready to go. But anyway, that should be fun. Janet's hardworking and keeping a business going. What else has happened? Oh, back to school. Right back to our routines for many of us. It's changed kind of our eating patterns from the summer, should we say. And maybe if you're cooking some meals at home, here's a tip. I think, you know, we do it in the commercial kitchens also. You always have to have your ingredients ready, mise en place, as the French call it, everything in its place. And when we're cooking foods to order, of course, we don't start every dish with chopping the onion.